Thank you. Hello, and welcome to TGS's third quarter 2009 conference call. My name is Robert Hobbs, and I am CEO of TGS. Joining me today on the call is Arna Hellen, our CFO, and Karen Ell-Tawil, our Vice President of Business Development. Earlier today, we posted our third quarter earnings release along with a recorded presentation of those results. I hope that you have had an opportunity to view that release, and we will now just give a brief summary of the main points before opening the call to your questions. Our total net revenues of $125 million were down 27% compared to the same period one year ago, which at that time, in the third quarter of 2008, was an all-time record quarter for TGS. These net revenues were approximately the same as that experienced sequentially in the previous quarter, or Q2 of 2009. Net late sales from the multi-client library were $77.1 million, down 21% from late sales in Q3 2008. Net pre-funding revenues were $37.3 million, up 4% compared to the same period one year ago. Pre-funding revenues covered 43% of our investments in multi-client products, which totaled $87.4 million for the third quarter. Revenues from proprietary contracts totaled $10.6 million, and that was down 72% from the third quarter of 2008, which was a period when TGS chose to take advantage of a significant amount of proprietary seismic data acquisition with the fleet that it had chartered at that time. 69% of our multi-client revenues came from projects in progress, and 16% from fully amortized surveys. The multi-client amortization rate for the quarter was 38%, within our guided range for the year of 35-40%. Our resulting operating profit was $59.1 million, up from $54.3 million in Q2, but down 22% from Q3 2008. TGS's operating profit for Q3 represented 47% of net revenues. Earnings per share were 48 cents per share versus a loss last year during the same period of 11 cents per share. Cash flow from operations after taxes but before investments was $108.7 million compared to $61.2 million one year ago. Our backlog increased 5% to $131.8 million in the third quarter. This is 31% lower than the same period one year ago, reflecting the relatively more difficult market than we've experienced over the last 12 months. TGS remains in a very strong position. Vessel capacity available for use for our multi-client business has continued to increase, and rates for that capacity have continued to decline. TGS is identifying attractive opportunities in which to invest, as evidenced by our recently announced new wide azimuth program in the Central Gulf of Mexico. And with the company's strong balance sheet, we are in position to increase multi-client market share. Due to attractive new opportunities that the company has identified, management has decided to increase guidance on multi-client investments for 2009 to $250 to $280 million, up from the previously guided range of $230 to $270 million. Otherwise, we are maintaining our expectations for the full year 2009 as follows. Average pre-funding in the range of 45 to 55% of investments, an average annualized multi-client amortization rate in the range of 35 to 40% of net revenues in the range of $47 to $530 million, and proprietary contract revenues in the range of 5 to 10% of total net revenues. At this time, we will open the call for your questions. Please press star 1 to pose your question.
First question, James Redfern, Bank of America. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, good afternoon, gentlemen. It's James Redfern here. I noticed in your presentation that you don't have the fleet vessel schedule in the third quarter presentation. Can I just ask why that is? And then also with the new Gulf of Mexico Justice wide azimuth survey, why that's not being done in cooperation with Western Juco, as in the past. Okay, thank you.
In regards to the fleet schedule, in October, actually, in terms of long-term commitments to vessels, we only have two 2D vessels under long-term charter. We did sign, as has been previously announced, sign a letter of intent with Polarcus to take vessel capacity in West Africa. And that will likely occur towards the end of this year or earliest part of next year. And that's their first 3D vessel that's coming out. The other vessels that we had previously on our vessel agreements are all have all gone off charter. And, of course, we've now announced our wide azimuth program and extension of the wide azimuth program in the Gulf of Mexico. And so we will be taking on charter a wide azimuth fleet from Western Jigo. But, you know, beyond the letter of intent that we have with Polarcus and the wide azimuth crew that we are have committed to in the Gulf of Mexico, that's the extent of our 3D capacity. And then all of our 2D capacity, with the exception of two vessels, the vessel from CGG Veritas, which we took under charter as part of the Wakefield settlement back in late 2008, and the Northern Genesis, which is a 2D vessel that we have on long-term charter and have had for quite some time, those are the only vessels that we have commitments for. And so it's given us tremendous flexibility in a market like we're in right now to be able to pick up available vessels where we need it as we develop projects. In regards to the wide azimuth extension in the Gulf of Mexico, we evaluated several ways to do that project, and we talked to several vendors on how to do that project. That included discussions of additional joint venture work with those vendors, as well as opportunities for TGS to do it 100%. We looked at the investment opportunity, we modeled the project, and we determined that what would be best for TGS would be to take this project on 100%. And we were happy to continue working with Western GECO on a charter basis for that project.
Okay, great. Okay, guys, I appreciate you helping that.
Okay.
Next, Ian McPherson, Simmons & Company. Go ahead, please.
Hey, good morning. I just wanted to see if you wanted to share some comments regarding customer discussions towards seismic or even late sales spending in the fourth quarter and your view as we go into the first quarter with respect to just sort of general trends with geophysical spending.
Yeah, you know, we make it a policy not to guide on a quarterly basis, and so I can't really, I'm not going to say anything in regards to specifics about the fourth quarter. I can say that the climate has improved from the deepest part for our company, which was in the first quarter of 2009. Sales activity, picked up quite a bit as we went into the second quarter. That sales activity has remained sustained into the third quarter, as evidenced by our revenues that we reported. And we believe that the commodity prices seem to have stabilized at a 70 to 80 barrel range, and that is causing seismic companies to start thinking about investing in opportunities going forward. That said, it's still a very different market than where we were in early 2008 and late 2007. It is more difficult to come up with those sales and to come up with that pre-funding. And we're working extra hard to be able to generate these revenues. There's still a cautious tone in the market right now. In certain areas, it is still very slow. Areas where gas plays predominate is one example, but we are confident that there are areas in other parts of the world that seem to be looking a bit brighter, certainly than they did earlier in the year.
Okay, thanks for that. And then you referenced very strong pre-funding support for Justice. Could you elaborate on that, if not in specific percentages, just maybe on a relative basis compared to its predecessors, or sort of your general portfolio average?
Yeah, the pre-funding on Justice fits very well within, you know, our portfolio. You know, when it's combined with the rest of our portfolio, you know, fits within our guided range for the year. I can say that. We don't guide on pre-funding levels for individual projects, so I'm not going to comment on that. I will say, though, that we were we're pretty happy with the support we have for that project.
Great. Okay, thanks. Good luck.
Next, Paul Dahl, First Securities. Go ahead, please.
Yes, thank you. You are guiding quite a big CapEx range for fourth quarter. Could you say, is that due to uncertainty with regards to delivery of vessels?
No, we have enough. We have a couple of opportunities that we're looking at in the fourth quarter. And so, you know, as we model those opportunities and as we make investment decisions on those sorts of opportunities can swing the range. And so we want to be flexible in terms of our decision going forward as to the timing and of those opportunities and whether we take them or not. So we feel like we need to maintain a range because we're constantly looking at a portfolio of opportunities brought to us, and we're constantly evaluating those opportunities and how they might fit into our budget, our investment budget, you know, in regards to 2009 versus 2010, for example.
You previously, or going into this downturn, you anticipated to see a shift from contract seismic to multi-client seismic. Could you say something about how whether that has taken place or not?
Well, I think that you know, the whole seismic product mix obviously has there's been decreased demand for the entire mix, proprietary as well as multi-client, in the down cycle that we're in right now. I'll say that I believe that our demand for multi-client projects has held up much better than demand for contract seismic going forward. If you remember, in the first half of this down cycle, many of the companies that were participating in the contract market were working off a backlog that they had won, earlier in 2008. I don't want to predict the timing of the bottom of the contract market, because that's not really our business. It's the business of many of our vendors and some of the peers in our industry. I think if you look at the total cycle that we're in right now, I think you'll see that probably multi-client demand will probably be, at least for our projects and our products that we have, because of the quality of our products, I think you'll find that that demand will hold up pretty well relative to the contract.
Very good. And my final question, you have invested and committed to invest quite a lot in Liberia and I think also Ghana, and this is, been discussed recently as a very prospective exploration region. Could you say something about your expectation for development in this region and how the recent discoveries by Tullow and Anadarko and Exxon's interest in that region may affect your return potential?
Yeah, we're pretty excited about this region. And, since Kosmos and Tullow and others, had their success in Ghana and Cote d'Ivoire, that TGS got into that play fairly early. And it's gratifying to see that as we've built our data library and have sort of preceded many of our clients in this particular area, exploration success has followed, as evidenced by some recent recent exploration success announced by Anadarko up in Sierra Leone. And so I can say that we're quite excited about it. We feel like we have a dominant position in the multi-client market there now within that play. And I can just tell you we're getting quite a bit of interest from customers for that particular data library.
Okay, so that sounds very exciting. Just a quick follow-up here. So I think there's a couple of license rounds due to close now. Do you expect to see increased a pickup fairly near term here, or is this more a longer-term development?
Yeah, you know, these license rounds, I mean, we have data in our database is so global, and license rounds are if they're not regular in one particular region, they're pretty regular globally in other regions. Of course, we have our regular license rounds that affect our very large database in the Gulf of Mexico, and those are probably some of the most regularly scheduled rounds, and those as far as we know and can tell will continue. Northwest Europe, there have been regular license rounds offshore Norway, the regular annual round, and then of course, typically biannually they have a very big exploration round, which we've been able to be successful in leveraging off of. Alignment rounds are important for the company, and it's because of our global footprint. We're able to take advantage of those on a pretty regular basis because they happen in various places around the globe pretty consistently. So it's difficult for me to pinpoint necessarily one particular round that's really driving things. I will say that in concert with your previous question, Paul, about activity in West Africa, there's been an announced license round in Liberia, and I would presume that there'd probably be quite a bit of interest associated with that, given the news we've had over the past several months.
Thank you very much, Robert, and good luck.
Thank you, Paul.
Next, we'll have investor ABG Sundal Collier. Go ahead, please.
Hi, I have a question on the multi-client pricing. Are you seeing any impact on, or do you have to give discounts, or are you still getting the same volumes for the same price?
Yeah, I mean, we our model is we don't really give price discounts per se. What we tend to do is we tend to encourage companies to buy larger volumes. In order to get their, per square kilometer price down. And so we do put together very large volume sort of transactions. And I would characterize that activity as being, pretty static from how it's been in the past. I guess I wouldn't, we've always talked to all companies about them getting, advantage from buying more data and we're in discussions with companies in those areas now. I would probably say that maybe on a percentage basis, if you took our sales mix from past years, and compared that to the cycle that we're in right now, probably a percentage, there's probably more of a higher percentage of the sales mix that might involve larger volume deals now than may have been in the past. But there hasn't been, the multi-client business isn't subject to a lot of the price elasticity such as the contract market that you see. So we're able to hold our unit prices pretty steady.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And on your backlog for the quarter, how much of that is for execution in 2009?
Well, in 2009, we're getting pretty close to the end of it. Probably, I would guess that probably 20%, 20-25% would be associated with 2009.
Finally, just a housekeeping question. Can you give the split between investments in 2D and 3D in the quarter and your expectations for Q4?
Well, in this past quarter, we had vessels, 3D vessels from Fugro active in the North Sea. We had a vessel with from Bargain Oilfield Services active in the Gulf of Mexico and then West Africa. And then we had, of course, the White Azimuth crew with Western GECO. In total, during the third quarter, we had 3 3D vessels, and then, of course, the Western GECO joint venture. Two of the 3D vessels were utilized on the same project, so I guess, you know, full-time, we had 2 3D vessels in operation during the third quarter. You know, 4 2D vessels, we were pretty active in the 2D market in the third quarter, due primarily to our activity in Northwest Europe. And then, of course, we had 2D activity in West Africa. And then 3 3D vessels and 2 3D vessels were operated as joint JVs. If you recall from our earnings release and press releases, we announced 2 joint ventures with PGS in the North Sea and Norwegian Sea. And then, of course, the 3 2D vessels that we typically utilized from Fugro's fleet for our joint venture in the North Sea. Now, going forward in the fourth quarter, as we've announced, as I stated earlier in this call, we have only 2 2D vessels that are on long-term charter to us, and that's what we currently have active right now. We announced earlier that we have a letter of intent with Polarcus, and we expect that arrangement with Polarcus will start towards the end of this year, very latter part of this year. And then, of course, we have the new White Azimuth survey, which will start with the Western GECO group of vessels in the Gulf of Mexico, and that should kick off in mid-December.
Just a question on 2010. Are we seeing a trend where TDS will be investing more in high-end service rather than 2D and low-end 3D?
I think TDS's strength is a very broad product line mix, and that's because we operate in areas with dramatically varying exploration maturity. And I think looking at the opportunities that we have being brought before us now, I would expect to see sort of the product mix that we've seen in 2009 to probably continue on into 2010. I don't see a big dramatic change from that. And that's driven by the basins in which we operate. You know, 2D is, there's still a strong demand for 2D in certain areas of the world. As it is, there's a strong demand for 3D that's not necessarily White Azimuth, for example.
Okay, thanks.
Next, Paul on the Lunda, DNB Nord. Go ahead, please.
Hi, just one question on the sale from the full amortized data. Can you say anything about the regions where you have sold that data?
Yeah, it's, the majority of that, I guess it was 16% were fully amortized surveys, was from Northwest Europe.
Okay, thanks. And one more question on the oil companies. The pickup in demand, is that kind of from all ranges of oil companies, from smaller to bigger, or is it mainly still among the bigger oil companies?
Yeah, I would characterize the client mix in the cycle that we're in right now as maybe trended a little bit towards more of the larger oil companies and larger independents that are more involved in international activity, of international portfolios. I think the portion of our normal client mix that is smaller companies that might be exposed to more shallow water plays or more gas plays, you know, those guys have reduced their investment, and so we've seen a smaller percentage of our sales mix from companies like that.
Okay, thanks.
Sure.
Next, Christopher Møllerløkken, Arctic Securities. Go ahead, please.
Yes, good morning, gentlemen. With regards to the vessels you have on charter agreements here, as you referred to, you have only two vessels on long-term charters now, excluding the Western GECO vessels and the letter of intent with Polarcus. Does that mean that the Bergen Oilfield 3D vessel you have had on charter, that you didn't utilize the option there to extend it until October next year?
That's correct. That went off charter to us in October of this year.
Yeah. And same with the settlement you made with Wayfield also. You had a right there to, you know, if CGG had the availability of 3D vessels, you could utilize their capacity. Do you expect to use 3D vessel capacity from CGG next year?
You know, we evaluate that particular option that we have as a result of the settlement was our ability to, you know, over 4 years from settlement, I guess it was January 1, 2009, we have the ability to use up to 2 years of time at a negotiated rate that was negotiated at settlement time. And so we keep that, you know, as we look for capacity to fulfill our project needs, that's always a consideration. It will continue to be a consideration as we look at available capacity compared to that. So you know, right now we're not using that option, but it's going to continue to be open for us through the next, you know, slightly more than 3 years.
Hmm. You also referred to that the rates of the vessels have declined. Have they declined also from what you did see in second quarter? And if so, by how much in your view?
Yeah, I mean, we've continued to see, you know, when we go out and look for vessel capacity on sort of a spot rate, spot market, we've continued to see providers willing to do deals with us, and we're able to negotiate down the price a bit, you know, as we talk to vessel providers. You know, between Q2 and Q3, you know, probably that drop has been, you know, it's difficult to say because it's on a blended basis or on a group basis, but, you know, maybe 5%.
Hmm. And regarding the demand there, as you did refer to, quite a substantial pickup in Q2 from very low levels in Q1. Q3 seems stable. Any indications that customers are coming back for the typical year-end spending effects we have seen in fourth quarter?
It's a bit early to say right now. I think that we are talking to some customers about some large deals, which, you know, is typical really to any time in our business. You know, we always have some you know, negotiations ongoing on large package deals. I guess that wasn't true maybe at the first of the year. And so it's encouraging that we do have conversations about customers about large package deals that tend to be perhaps maybe global in nature. And so we're looking to mature those. And, you know, it's tough to determine right now you know, we're sitting in October, and as you know, Christopher, and following us for quite some time, it's difficult to predict the timing on when individual deals are going to close. You know, I think, you know, as evidenced by us sticking by our revenue range, our revenue guidance, you know, that would give us a fourth quarter that would be higher than the quarters we've seen so far this year. So I think, you know, that's an indication that we feel pretty comfortable going into the fourth quarter that, you know, activity is going to continue.
The implicitly range for Q4 is fairly wide, you know, ranging from 150 to 210. Could you give any flavor on what will, you know, drive it either towards the lower or the high end? Any, is it particularly in the U.S. Gulf of Mexico that you need to see that market picking up to, you know, reach the high end there? Any products standing out like 3D versus 2D?
Well, I mean, the Gulf of Mexico, what continues to be really the, the more attractive product line for us there is the White Atlas surveys that we've been active in since early 2008. And, you know, I can't recall a quarter where we haven't gotten additional commitments on that White Atlas activity. You know, we placed our products there in the Gulf of Mexico in a location that is both attractive from an exploration standpoint. In other words, there tends to be attractive blocks that are available on these regular central lease sales within that area, but it's also an area where there's a lot of production and a lot of infrastructure. So we're also seeing a client mix that is utilizing that product for field delineation, for example, or in appraisal. So, I think you referenced specifically the Gulf of Mexico. That's an area that, where 3D and White Atlas making a larger part of that product mix that seems to be of interest to customers. However, you know, in frontier basins, like West Africa, for example, we're still getting a lot of interest on our 2D products for companies that are going in there and evaluating new acres there, new opportunities there.
Hmm. Thank you. Next, Morten Lisa from Nippons. Go ahead, please.
Yes. Good afternoon, gentlemen. Thanks for taking my questions. First of all, a question regarding costs and cost development. Are we at the trough here, or because you've been able to take down your costs quite substantially over the last, couple of quarters, given the current activity levels, is it the trough of the cost, or are we able to bring down costs even further?
Yeah, I mean, the bulk of our costs are what we're investing in our multi-client data library, so it's what we're spending for vessels. And, as we've stated, those rates have declined. The level of activity in Q2 and Q3, it being the summer season in Europe, is typically always higher for TGS, and so our costs in Q4, as we pull out of Northwest Europe with our operational activity, the costs for vessels tend to decline because we don't participate in as many projects typically in Q4. So that's the bulk of our costs is what we're spending on vessel capacity. We did take a number of cost reduction measures that range from we did take a small headcount reduction in the second quarter, I think that's proven to be a wise thing that we did, but we don't anticipate any additional cuts in that area. I think what we needed to do, at least for now, we needed to do what we needed to do. And in fact, talking about headcount, in fact, we've actually added a little bit of headcount recently in certain areas where we saw opportunities to benefit our business. So, I don't know what more I could comment on that. I think that in terms of cost reduction measures, we did what we needed to do, and that's probably what all that you're going to see from us this year.
Another question, back to the multi-client range in fourth quarter. Let's say if you end up at 280, do you need to add, an extra 3D vessel, or are your current fleet with the crews of two crews of Betanjico and the 2GD vessel enough to, reach 280 in multi-client investments?
There is probably some, when we build our plan for investment in Q4, we're looking at several opportunities, some of which already have capacity that we have signed on to, And however, other opportunities are ones in which we're in discussions now. And so I don't want to talk about a project-by-project basis in terms of what we will or what we might not do in Q4 or take on. But I would say that, the broad range of investment, we've kept our range pretty broad from 250 to 280. It's based upon the range of opportunities we're looking at right now. And that will obviously utilize the fleet that we've already committed to and could possibly utilize a little bit more capacity.
And then my final question, I don't know if you want to comment this, Robert, but the Justice survey, the Wellhead survey, you said that you will probably start that during December. What is the duration of that survey? And if you want, could you tell us a little bit about the cost of the survey? Thank you, and good luck in the future.
Yeah, I can't talk about the cost of the survey, but we plan on starting the project in mid-December, and it's I believe it's scheduled to last 5 to 6 months.
Okay, thank you.
It's Morton.
Next, Henry, Standard & Poor's. Go ahead, please.
Yes, hi. Thanks for taking my question. Just a quick follow-up, trying to figure out multi-client refunding versus investment levels. If we look at the licensing activity that you've been talking about, what kind of additional, how can we look at what your activity is going to be for the next year and so on in addition to this? I mean, it looks like, you're already very active in most of the areas where we've seen as announcements and so on. So how can we kind of think about that going forward?
I don't think that, as you just now pointed out, we've been very sort of global in our activity. And that's because I think we do a good job of identifying opportunities over a wide range of basins that are good projects. We're just now in our budgeting period for 2010, and I can tell you we are looking at a broad range of projects that are in a broad range of basins. I guess there's one area that we haven't been particularly active over the past perhaps 6 months as much as in other areas, and that's probably the Asia-Pacific region. We would like to grow our product line there a little bit more aggressively. We think there are opportunities there. But I don't, I think if you were to look at 2010, you'll continue to see us operating in our core areas. We've been in Greenland for about 10 years now, and we're very enthusiastic about the Arctic, and in particular Greenland, and I think we'll continue to see activity there. We're very enthusiastic about the new activity in West Africa, so we're looking at a number of opportunities there, as well as continued activity in the Gulf of Mexico. The product mix that we're looking at right now is pretty broad.
Okay, and then real quick, I just want a couple of housekeeping things. I got on the call a little later, so I don't know if this was already asked, but with regard to the guidance and what that portends for the fourth quarter, excuse me, on the late sale side, does that kind of put a heavy burden on it, given that there's so much variability and for late sales to come in, towards right up to the end? And then my other question would have been on rates. You talked about, target rates remaining low and so on. What have you thought about, what kind of steps can we see from you in terms of locking up long-term rates if the rates start to firm up or even start to rise again?
Yeah, it's very difficult to predict timing of late sales. That's the hardest part in our business. Typically, though, if you look at TGS historically, you'll see that fourth quarter traditionally tends to be the quarter where we see the highest level of late sales in the year, historically. I don't see anything structurally in our business that would cause that to be different this year. Although, as evidenced by our continued wide range on revenue guidance, there's obvious uncertainty that's always present in our business on a quarter-by-quarter basis, and so we do need to maintain that range. I believe, let's see, your second question was in regards to vessel capacity and vessel pricing. You know, I think we spend a lot of time continually evaluating that market and the worldwide fleet and what's available to us. At this point, it's, availability and pricing makes it very advantageous for us to take vessels on a project-by-project basis. Where vessels are located in close juxtaposition for projects that we have. That's obviously favorable because taking a long-term vessel commitment means that you also have to take the cost of mobilizing that vessel between basins if you're using it for a portfolio of projects that aren't located in the same region. And so, in a market like we're in today, it's favorable to TGS because we can take advantage of what's there at a particular time. And we'll continue to do that for the foreseeable future as long as that vessel availability maintains high as it is now. As I said before, we continue to monitor the situation. We have a vice president of operations who's one of his sole jobs is to watch that for us, and we spend a lot of time thinking about that. So, at the point to where we see opportunities to take longer-term charters, we'll do that. In fact, as we've recently announced with our Polarcus letter of intent, we were able to secure two option periods in back of the initial charter period at a pre-negotiated rate. So we always look for opportunities to do that as well to lock in options to TGS.
Okay, great. Thank you.
If further questions, please key star 1. Next, Franz Jürgens, Juno. Go ahead, please.
General, good afternoon. A quick question on something that you haven't really expanded on very much. I was wondering if you mind doing that now on the nature and the size of the newly announced deal in the U.S. on the well-log data.
Yeah, I believe you're referring to the contract with the Minerals Management Service.
Correct.
Yeah, that is a, we have had a contract with them for 5 years, and this is the second contract we won, so it's another 5-year contract. And what this is a contract that to TGS, which is an award that gives us the business of digitizing and maintaining well logs that the MMS uses and adds to their database. And the situation here in the U.S. is when a well is drilled in the outer continental shelf, the OCS, that well data is not public for a certain period of time, I believe it's 24 months. But that data, companies, the operators that drill those wells have to give that data to the MMS. And so TGS manages that database for the MMS during that confidentiality period. But what it also gives us is once that data becomes public after the confidentiality period, we have it on hand and we're able to add that very rapidly because we've already digitized it and already managed it for the MMS. We're able to add it very rapidly to our multi-client database. So we're happy that the second contract awarded to us is obviously a signal from the Minerals Management Service that they're very confident in TGS's ability to manage that database by virtue of their experience with us in the previous 5 years.
Is the second contract a follow-up from the previous one, which is expired, or is it in addition to?
No, the previous one expired. They go on 5-year terms, and it expired, and so they went out for a second tender on the second contract. We won the tender.
All right. Thank you very much.
No further questions.
Okay. Thank you, everybody, and look forward to talking again after the first of the year for our fourth quarter release.